Good morning, everyone. My name is Peggy New. I'm the president of the Monday Campaigns, and I'm going to talk about Meatless Monday and how a very simple idea sparked a healthy food movement. Just in the way of history, Meatless Monday is a kind of very unusual marriage between marketing and public health. The story starts with Dr. Bob Lawrence at Johns Hopkins when one day he posed the question, how can we reduce saturated fat by 15%? Sid Lerner, who's right here in the room, said, well, you know, 15% works out to about one day a week, and remembered back to his Boy Scout days in World War II about the concept of Meatless Monday. So it was actually something that was implemented by three presidents during World War I and World War II, originally as a food rationing idea. Then, you know, in 2003, it was repurposed for different reasons because now we eat too much. And so the idea to cut back on meat once a week and you can meet the Surgeon General's recommendation. So since that time in 2003, it has really morphed into this global movement. And it's just been extraordinary because it's evolved in ways that we just never even expected. It's now in 23 countries. It's embraced by a wide range of individuals and organizations, and most of this has just been organic growth. I mean, we don't call the Philippines and say, gee, would you start a Meatless Monday? They just hear about the idea and decide to start it in their own country. So it has that kind of viral energy. Here in the U.S., we just completed some research to give you a sense of the scope of it. We've reached 43% awareness, and again, this is without spending a dime in media. It's really all through the work of the partners who have embraced the idea. Importantly, 36% of those that are aware said that it has influenced them to cut back on meat. And I think one of the more important findings is 62% of those say they've worked it into their weekly routine. So I think that is part of it. It's creating habits, not just a sort of one-time awareness, but really working it into people's routine, which is the way, you know, that they can really change in a fundamental way. We also asked people what they're eating instead and got some great results that it's actually fruits, vegetables, whole grains. So it's all the things that the USDA is recommending that we eat more of and, of course, less meat. Now, and this really echoes some of what my colleagues were saying. I'm actually an advertising person, my former life. And the idea is the key. A great idea can make billion-dollar brands. And in advertising, we used to spend, I'd say, 95% of our effort in defining what the big idea is. And I think that often just gets lost in public health communication. So now our big idea really has a number of attributes which are very similar to what you guys were talking about. One, it's simple. Easy to understand. What you need to do is in the name. You say Meatless Monday. I don't have to read a brochure. I don't have to like go to some position paper. It's like right there. Got it. Meatless Monday. And it's not a big ask. And that's what I think people are so overwhelmed by food issues. You know, what can I do? And this is just something very simple, very moderate, very easy that most people say, yeah, I could do that. That's easy. The other part of this is the magic of Monday, and this is sort of the secret weapon behind Meatless Monday. And there are a couple of reasons. One is because it's not just the alliteration. Now, you all know that. Meatless Monday is fun to say, but it's really more profound as to why Monday. Part of it is there are 52 of them, so it really fosters, in terms of taking an action, a sustainable week after week, action and behavior change. And then Monday, as the beginning of the week, is really the day that people are open to buy. People start diets and exercise regimens. They quit smoking. So by focusing on Monday, that's a great day for people to be open to doing something like cutting back on meat. So in building the movement, we've kind of taken this two-pronged approach of getting the foot soldiers and the grassroots, and then, as my colleague Anna says, the grassroots and the grass tops, the key influencers at the top. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about that and sort of extract some very practical lessons that maybe other people could use on other issues. So we started with the true believers, and in our case, the Meatless Monday is very recipe-based, so we went to the food bloggers, and we started in 2009 with one, Kim O'Donnell with the Washington Post. Now there are over 200 that every single week have Meatless Monday recipes. Now my lesson here is that people really like to dress in chicken and pig costumes. I think that, that's obviously a trend. So campus and community advocates. And it's wonderful because we don't, we'll just hear about that they're marching in chicken costumes in Loudoun, Virginia, with our Meatless Monday signs. And so there's just this energy on campuses and community. Again, they want to do something, and this is a really simple idea to try to, get other people involved. So now from there, we get, the true believers. Now, how do you spread it from there? So a couple of principles. One, recognition. A lot of what we do on our website and social media is calling attention and rewarding. We always list the bloggers, and so that's very important to them. Secondly, resources. If you go to our website, meatlessmonday.com, there are toolkits and posters and anything you would want if you wanted to start it in school. So, you can order little T-shirts. That's Henry, by the way. Just like Henry, so that you can spread the word in your community. Community, creating a community through social media and other ways so people can connect and feel like they are part of the movement. And then finally, just moving up the food chain. So, if you get one blogger and they know someone else or someone in the community, and maybe there's a big employer there, always pushing and working to use someone who is, dedicated and a true believer to get, to someone else. So then the leaders, we've got this grassroots energy bubbling away, but we've strategically kind of tried to approach and pick off some key leaders that could add energy on that top level. So, the first step was really courting the vanguard, the people out there that, are your natural allies that, if they just knew about your idea, that they would spread it to their constituents. You recognize some of these folks up here, Michael Pollan. Maria Rodale, of course, has that huge media empire. Paul McCartney started Meat Free Monday in the UK. So in any case, just make sure these folks know about what you're doing. And then look for the unexpected. Who would ever think that Mario Batali, the Prince of Pork, would get behind Meatless Monday? But he's actually very devoted to sustainability, and he, after we approach him, picked up the idea, and he now has it in his 14 restaurants and has been one of the most effective spokesperson, again, because, here he's wearing sausages around his neck and yet advocating for Meatless Monday, so it gets a lot of attention. Court the game changers. This Sodexo in 2011, they're one of the world's largest food service provider. They have enormous impact on the food system. They introduced a Meatless Monday throughout all of their facilities in the U.S. They feed 10 million people a day. Basically, every Monday, they promote vegetarian options, and it's been a huge success. Their research indicates that 50% of their facility operators say they've increased the vegetables they buy, and 30% have decreased the meat that they buy. So huge impact on the food system. Now, I will say, when we were pestering them for a long time to get an appointment, and when we finally got in, they were really interested in talking to us because on campus, the people in the chicken outfits had been starting Meatless Mondays at a lot of their facilities, and so they were like, oh, something's going on here. We got to talk to these people. This is really interesting. So that's how that can, work both ways. Tap into editorial cycles and content needs. We get free Meatless Monday recipes and features every single week in these places. Prevention, Women's Health, Food Network, Cooking Channel. So it's not necessarily pitching a story. It's okay, they need content every week. And on Twitter and Facebook and online, so we just provide that content. And again, it's because it rests on the week, and really those editorial cycles are planned by the week. The same, this next lesson is really find people who benefit from your success. And so this is the what do I eat instead of meat crowd. You know, so suddenly Morningstar Farms is like, oh, this Meatless Monday is great because, hey, I have a product for that. And, of course, it's a Kellogg's company. They have tons of advertising dollars. So suddenly they're promoting Meatless Monday, including educating people, linking to our website. So it's not just promoting their product. It's promoting the reasons why you should cut back on meat. Restaurants are the same way. Monday is a notoriously slow night in restaurants, and so just by having a Meatless Monday promotion, restaurant John Fraser in New York at Dovetail, he says he's booked out on Monday, and it's been a fun event. You know, people come because of Meatless Monday. This one is I think really important is you can educate while having fun. And that's part of the thing about Meatless Monday. It's fun. It's not a drag. It's not heavy. So we just came up with this, this is actually Sid's brainchild, Monday Burgers. One day a week, get the beef off your buns. And if you stop by our booth, actually, 2300, you can win a cookbook. But now at the same time, we posted this wonderful infographic for an environmental working group, which really gets into what is the environmental impact of a quarter pound burger. So, you know, sort of stealth education within these kind of fun ideas. And that kind of approach enabled us to get Burger King actually posted this on Facebook to go Meatless Monday. So again, it's sort of putting out a broad enough idea, being friendly enough that welcomes Burger King as well as other people. So two final points about the movement. One, movements can be messy. We have tried to put up a as big a tent as possible, you know, so that vegans and PETA has tried to start Meatless Monday, as well as the Sodexos and the Kellogg's can live under this tent. But sometimes there's conflict, and I think that that's part of the, you know, having somewhat of a tolerance for that. This was a situation, I don't know if anyone read about it, but the USDA retracted their support of Meatless Monday. It got a firestorm of publicity. You know, PETA tried to kind of force their way into a college there. But in any case, I think we've tried to really stay above the fray and keep focused on our moderate, friendly, mainstream message, and we've been able to not be tarnished on either end of the spectrum. And finally, I think it's important to sometimes resist temptation to be at the front of the parade because we tend to, you know, try to own our initiatives and control them. And you know, this is an example. Adam Gopnik wrote in The New Yorker, you know, mentioned Meatless Monday, and it was lowercase Meatless Monday. And we actually celebrated, you know. That means that, you know, this isn't a top-down public health initiative. It's something that has just entered the vernacular of popular culture. And so I think that is an important lesson in ways that you can really make it be a movement and not just, you know, a specific initiative. So in any case, you know, please join us. We have a booth, 2300. You can come by. All of our materials are free if anyone wants to start it. And if you come by, we'll tell you what those boxer shorts with a flame coming out. That's a whole other initiative and a whole other story. Anyway, thank you very much.